Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome back. Happy All Saints Day. It is 31 for 31's 32nd episode. I guess technically 33rd if you count our intro preview. But we wanted to come back to November and spend a little time just talking about the experience, saying our, you know, goodbyes for the October season, and really just kind of reflecting on the list and experience itself. And of course, what made the cut, didn't make the cut, the flow of the list, kind of how the pod developed over this last month was so fun and enjoyable for us. And we've loved having you as listeners and social media participants and suggesters and hint guessers. But yeah, I mean, we're here first and foremost, I guess, to say thank you as the 31 for 31 crew. And thankers in chief today are myself, Cody Mason, joined by my two co-hosts per usual,
Jamie Lansdowne
and Chris Boniello,
saying thanks. So
thank you.
Well, I want to say thank you to the listeners, but I also want to thank you two guys a lot. I mean, this is just, this was kind of a crazy project that I was like, hey, do you guys want to do this? When I brought it up to you guys last January, I guess, or even before that.
Yeah.
So this has been basically a full year of talking about this and doing it. And I appreciate you guys kind of being as passionate about it as I have been and devoting a lot of time and effort into it. So I just want to get that out of the way.
Well, we thank you, Jamie, for being the original brainchild. This was something that you were writing about last year. And you said, there's an even better format for this where we can make this really, really pop. And I think it was the best possible way to do it. And it kept us in the spooky mood all year long, which is exactly what we needed after 2020 when we were robbed of it.
We were definitely robbed. And I loved following along your initial one and all your writing about it and trying to keep up on it. So it was fun to put myself in those shoes as well, force myself to keep up with you two guys who had a voracious hunger for these films and other films and TV shows and things actually going on while I tried to somehow buy a house and move.
Hey, I got married during this period.
Yeah.
The juggling you guys did with life, like responsibilities and everything, and then doing this, I really applaud you for it.
I mean, we should just direct a movie. We can do it.
I know, seriously.
Hey, you know what? That might be what's next for us. We're all writers. We're all creatives. So I think this was just a beautiful place to start, just to get to know, you know, I've known Jamie for years. I got to know Chris even better through this. And I think like the best place for us to start was just vomiting out titles to get to know each other of like, hey, you know, what are your picks? And we came up with, I think, over 250 picks that could make the list before we narrowed that down, created tentative lists on our own, and then meshed those together and really spent a lot of our initial 2 months just making this happen in a way that made it feel cohesive in general. So we wouldn't have to make too many swaps. We only ended up making one or two swaps, after we started recording everything in February. But that was an awesome experience just to look and be like, oh, okay, Chris is throwing out, you know, Ilsa's She-Wolf of the SS and, you know, Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer. And,
yeah,
you know, I'm putting Barbarian Sound Equinox Studio. And, you know, I'm throwing out everything from
Baskin.
You know, Bone Tomahawk to Baskin to, you know, pretty much every Stephen King movie in the world, which none of them made it somehow.
Yeah. I felt bad about that. That's the hard thing, is that like putting this together, when you look at it, you're like, this is a good list. And then you're like, look at what is on the cutting room floor. You're like, no, like, can we get this in there? But that's
Let's
part
talk
of the
about
fun
Stephen
too.
King, you know, Stephen King, you know, it is something I would consider. It Chapter One could have definitely been on this list, but feels empty and hollow without two. And, you know,
I'd go miniseries. I'd go,
you know, Carrie was something I could do. Dr. Sleep was actually our closest selection. That was on the earlier version of the list. We're Mike Flanna fans and really liked that. I like that book a lot. I like the adaptation a lot. We were dealing
the director's cut. You got to watch it if you haven't. It's way better. It's
way better.
I mean, Flanagan is another guy that, like, even like, I mean, he's done a lot of Stephen King, but like, he's his own monolith in a way. I look at his work and like, I was bummed that we didn't get one of his movies on here. Like, I was like, fuck, like, do we throw in a Gerald's Game? Do we throw in a,
even that's Absentia? The new school 31 like, for 31.
Yeah. A little Hush, you know, it's something where I look at this list and again, like we were drawing from such a broad trough of like everything from Witchfinder General, which we could make that kind of argument, to something like Them or, you know, The Stuff or Prince of Darkness. Let's interject another Carpenter, or let's get Killer Clowns from Outer Space or Attack of the Killer Tomatoes, really throw you off your rhythm. Like, we had so many different ideas, and I think we, you know, really tried to narrow it down so that we were just surprising you guys, you know. And so that was one of our big things, is we are, I think, horror fans, but we're also just genre fans and like weirdness a lot. And we had to curb some of our instincts of, you know, having things that were constantly going to be weird. Really? That's a Halloween movie? Let me persuade you. We could have done a whole list of, I swear, this is really a Halloween movie, but that would have made for a weird experience for a whole October. So we really tried to mesh our favorite classics, our favorite B-sides, some twists along the lane of the lore in Mulholland Drive. And I think I'm proud of what we came up with looking at this list, and sad, you know, knowing that I've watched a few of these other films even this month that I'm like, I would love to talk about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a great pumpkin, Charlie Brown. I can't believe you guys made me
my religion, that. My religion. Do you guys have one movie or two? I'll give you two.
Give me three.
I'm going to give you, three each. Jamie first.
Okay.
I'm going back to my list. Last talking about in this movie, and any movies that it would have been fun to like pair them with.
Yes. Okay. My original list started off really pretentious by not even having like a straight up horror movie. I just love super dark times. And I was like, let's like ease people in and have like sort of like a psychological thriller in a sense, like made with some horror elements. And I thought that'd be an interesting way to kind of get into the spooky spirit without just diving in. You know, I think we decided to go the other way with being like, we're starting out with Trick or Treat. Like, you are full on Halloween mode, which I think was probably the better way. But the writers in that film, along with our guy from The Ritual, just directed, made a fantastic horror movie called The Night House that Cody and I saw, which would probably fit better.
Overwhelming experience.
Yeah. Which is great. So Super Dark Times was something that I wanted to get in there, but I felt like, I think we all agreed, like, it's not really a Halloween movie. I definitely recommend checking it out. I would have loved to have added maybe one of the VHS movies or another anthology movie, VHS 2.
VHS 2 is definitely up there.
Yeah, I would have picked 2 over 1.
And there was a recent VHS 94, which just came out, which I very much enjoyed. But I like that that franchise is like what it is. It's like, let's bring indie filmmakers. We give them like kind of like some parameters. And I love that collaborative spirit that, you know, it's that they're putting these films together and they're all pretty effective. I mean, there's not too many duds in those films. Like, they're all very interesting for different reasons. And I think anthologies, especially horror anthologies, work really well for Halloween, where you just get like, you know, 5-6 stories or whatever that are just, you know, wildly different and just kind of capturing the spirit. You know, we had Trick or Treat, we had Tales from the Hood, which were excellent. I would have liked to have gotten another anthology. As for a third film, I mean, a lot of our films, not unfortunately, but like, I feel like they veered towards like English language speaking. I think maybe we could have gone a little more like, done like The Wailing or something, or like Train to Busan, like as two recent examples of
films. Tale of Two Sisters was definitely prior list.
Yeah.
Tale of Two Sisters is definitely a favorite of mine. Like, I wanted on the list.
The original Ringu or like The Grudge or like, you know, the Onibaba, you know, if we want to go really deep, I would have liked to have done more of that. And I mean, that's just three off the top of my head of like two specific films, and then, like, you know, maybe just another film that wasn't a foreign, another foreign language film that we could have done would be my picks.
I like those, and they came close. I think two of mine that you'll be like, oh yeah, and then one that you'll be like, you got to stop talking about it. Just injecting, you know, outside of the more obscure ones that we were gonna make big swings for, you know, everything from, oh really, you know, if we put in Killer Clowns, if we put in I Saw the Devil, let's double, you know, let's put an Interview with a Vampire and just have all gothic vampire movies, you know, or let's do like a series of short films, or all that kind of stuff was on there. But for my, you know, ones that really cut close for me would really be, I've talked about it a ton, I think Shaun of the Dead is a really perfect, fun zombie movie that understands tropes, plays with them while adding something new, is, you know, Edgar Wright's kind of, I think, forgotten masterpiece in terms of how it is kind of the thesis statement for all of the stylistic choices that he'll make later in his career. But, you know, is often criticized, but some, I think, should be lauded for being a perfect mix of being a really straight up comedy for 3/4 and then being a really effective horror movie for the last fourth with characters you've grown to love. Just rewatched it. Still holds up. Just think that Return of the Living Dead was a little bit more interesting, even though it's not as much of a favorite for me, you know, in terms of that slot. Another one, you know, that I think we grappled with just because I think that it has such a personal impact on me. I've talked about like Tremors being something that freaked me out. I think another one that is definitely up there that I think holds up and like the reanalysis of and think deserves to be treated as an adult movie and not just kind of lumped in with this director's eye rolling kind of filmography is Signs. I think Signs would have been fun. I think it's just inarguably so creepy. And it came out in a point where we were all young enough to just think that that birthday party scene, that cornfield scene, that thing on the roof was just like the starkest, craziest, scariest images that we've ever experienced. So it would have been kind of a meta way of being like, what scared us as children and how does that relate to the season? So that was definitely one for me. And then lastly,
sorry to interject, but Brian Mitchell's favorite scary movie, by the way.
Yeah, he's a tough guy. So he's not typically scared, but that gets him. And then, last one, we've talked about it before and we'll talk about it again. You know, I'm not coming out swinging with Man Bites Dog or Henry Porter's Seal. I don't want anybody to get upset, but I really do want the one thing that this podcast could have spawned infinite, much more thorough, artistic sub podcasts or whatever. Maybe this is our next step. If we'd done Pitch Black and just made it, we got to do a Riddick podcast. Yeah, like I keep Riddick. Saying, you know, so I think Pitch Black actually is a fun movie and it is such an interesting movie in Vin Diesel's star persona. Like it's kind of like the Pain and Gain that makes The Rock work, you know, but it's a movie that again, really is such a specific thing of creating this new character out of nothing and making it a blockbuster and being hyper specific without any pretext. And it's a weird sci-fi horror movie that I think really works and maybe could have gone along with The Faculty or something, who knows, but kind of has that kind of Jeepers Creepers, keep your eye on the sky feeling. But old favorite of mine, would have been funny to dive into, but again, there's so many holes to poke that we were like, all right, maybe we fly free of Pitch Black for now. But those were three that I definitely could have led those episodes and talked your ear off. But otherwise, things we love like Reanimator, The Fly, even like Jump In with In the Mouth of Madness or Brain Dead or even Under the Skin, Kill List. I'm just looking at my original list. Like all of those are fun. All of those, I think we just found better movies that do it better to match the list, to match the thesis of what we mean for Halloween. I'll die saying that on that soapbox. So how about you, Chris?
Yeah, I think for these, it was tough. I mean, looking at my original list, looking at our overall list, one of the most exciting things for me actually coming into this was seeing movies that I hadn't seen before. There was multiple times in our list where it was really fun just to dive headfirst. Either one of you or both of you had seen it, or you both and the guest had seen it and were berating me to finally watch it.
You liked so, the movie, Chris.
Yeah.
I really liked The Ritual. I just told someone this weekend to go watch it. And So it was fun for me to open up some of these, especially films that I had just missed that, you know, were blind spots that I should have seen by now. It was just a lot of fun. Looking at this, there's a few that I would have picked, but the thing is that I'd already seen them before, and that, you know, we kind of jumped back and forth, and there was a nice mix of making sure we weren't repeating directors or themes. I think initially, I think What We Do in the Shadows would have been a fun one. I think we were missing a little bit of some of the comedy elements that we were trying to come across, that this isn't just the scariest movies of all time. This isn't just horror. This is really what the sense of Halloween is. And sometimes Halloween can just be funny and weird. I think
it can be Beetlejuicy.
Yeah, Beetlejuice was also on my initial list, which I think would have been a fun one to just go back and look at now. And but then talking about Tim Burton, I had never seen Sleepy Hollow, so that one was really exciting.
Yeah, that's probably the firmest cemented part of the list where you're like, yep, that fits.
Yeah. That works. And even Coraline was one of my early picks to get some animation on there. But I agree with
Perfect
Jamie,
Blue.
We were pretty stuck in American made films or American and British films, but it was, you know, it was tough to get more flavor from around the rest of the world. I'm looking over these lists. And then there's a few ones that I just remember being actual brutal scares first time watching it, and I kind of want to revisit them, like The Descent or a few other ones that are ones that it's fun to have a lot of people over and be like, hey, remember when we were younger and we watched this movie? Let's throw it on now and see if we're still terrified of it. And
probably will be. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, on the note of just foreign horror really quickly, I think it's just like something we realized early, like Wreck's a good example of something that's really scary, you know, something that really is groundbreaking in its ways and something that's rewatchable. But like, there is an English language speaking nation element to the kind of cultural distilled sense of Samhain, and like the sense of Halloween in this specific way that we defined it is much better precipitated into the British Isles, you know, America, even Australia, than what you see in the horror traditions of Japan or South Korea or, you know, even France or Spain, you know. And that's why when we were talking about a lot of these movies, we're like, oh, I'd love to talk about Tale of Two Sisters, or I'd love to do this or that. But it was surprising things like The Lore that made us feel like it was actually more Halloween-y, or House that made us feel like that, as opposed to even more famous or more straightforward Japanese horror. So that was part of the challenge too. It's just because, you know, Halloween has become, you know, as we know it, is a very American style holiday, and, you know, maybe, you know, British and Australian and Irish, you know, kind of extraction too. But, you know, that I kind of learned, that helped me define along the way, like, wow, there is kind of an ineffable quality that's part of how our culture responds to these kind of themes and our relationship to the occult and that kind of stuff.
The way we were putting together is that it's like a, you know, it's a journey. Like, it's going from 1 to 31. Like, so we're laying the tracks down, and like, sometimes like we'd lay it and be like, fuck, like if we wanted to swap out one film, sometimes we'd have to like pull the track back up and lay it back down again with different films, because it was just like, that was sort of the track we were going down. Like, this is just one example of like 31 films. Like, we tried to put together, you know, a mixtape is what we would call it. So it kind of had to have a certain flow to it. And that was kind of what was also guiding us. Like, that was our cinematic lodestar, if you will, of like getting these in a place that made sense. And I would be happy to share like our master list, maybe on social. We can kind of post some things.
Some selects at the very least.
Like, we were not ignoring a lot of films. Like, it was, we were putting this together, and like, it was like a puzzle piece. It was a mosaic. So like, we were just trying
to kill our darlings a lot.
We had to kill a lot of darlings. Like, there's so many films that I just love and adore. Like, Scream is probably one of my favorite movies, and I would have loved to have discussed, but we decided to go with The Faculty, which I felt was probably better.
I think you had a good time with that one. Yeah. And there wasn't even a sense of recency bias.
Yeah.
There wasn't even recency bias on the whole list too. Like, we had Freaks, we had Cabinet of Dr. Caligari. Like, it just ended up,
we had some
up
Hammer being, films. Yeah.
Yeah. It ended up being what stuck. And, you know, I think the decades are well represented, but, you know, I think Halloween, the movie, defined what Halloween meant for the nation so much that so many movies that best fit into it come after 1978 too.
And I think, I mean, I guess the oldest movie we did was House, probably, right? Was that, it was only a year before Halloween.
It's really, you know, that's the, that's where he got all his ideas, clearly. So,
you know, Jaws influences House, House influences Halloween. Like we have, you know,
the bada bing, bada boom, Moonlight, you know?
Yeah.
Chris, exactly. What were you going to say?
Exactly.
No, I'm just looking over this list at, you know, how many things we really worked through. It's just impressive, I think, to boil this down to 31 and where we got it. And there's some funny ones that we threw in that now I'm like, oh, we could have swapped this or that. And I think that's the exciting thing about what defines a holiday, especially one like Halloween, where everyone comes to it with different stories as a kid. It's something you grow up with. And I think that's what works so well in horror and Halloween movies and thriller movies, is that you start watching these as a kid and they stick with you and they evolve and change over time. And as you change and react to them, things become less scary in some parts and more scary in others. You don't connect as much to the kid who's being babysat. You connect to the babysitter. And then there's other times where you just connect to the adults trying to figure out what's going on. And then there's other times where you're like, people are overreacting. This just isn't scary at all anymore. And that's the fun of making a list like this and then going back and revisiting some of these where they were more interesting other times we watched or less interesting, and things really stood out on these rewatches.
Man, I think we should all post our own original lists, not the whole thing, but I'm looking at mine and I had it with subheaders, with folklore to imposters to supernatural, cabins, undead, yeah, bloodsuckers. I'm like, I had my own little spin and we were like, that's telegraphing the list way too much. And it doesn't, you know, it makes it a very jerky flow. And I'm like, well, okay. So yeah, we'll all post our own 31, but that even between those 93, we had probably close to 200 more that we were kind of digging into, as we said. Yeah. So it was a fun, you know, playoff bracket to get to our end result here.
And we'd love to see responses from you guys of what, you know, Halloween means for you. If you have any lists or films that you always watch or ones you remember watching as a kid, throw them out and compare them, and we'll keep chatting about them.
Yeah, I mean, we all love this stuff. We always are looking for new stuff. Like I, especially around this time of year, I'm always looking to watch new stuff. So it can be challenging to be like, all right, like what have I seen? Like what's good? So I love hearing from other people who recommend like something highly.
We've been that for each other, and we want you to even push us further. And that's been a great part of even the hints that some of you have come up with. I'm like, oh, I haven't rewatched that in a while. And that would be fun to talk about. Okay. So keep propelling this in that direction. And hey, you know, it ain't over until Halloween Ends comes out, you know? So who knows what the three of us have in store next. Definitely taking a hiatus for now. So hold back those tears, but yeah, stay on, stay tuned for any updates. And like, we're figuring out what, you know, what next list is going to strike our fancy, or talking movies or talking about our own projects. We definitely like talking. So there's a lot more to come. And, you know, if this month was any indication, it's that we like connecting and diving into these things and trying to create an experience and curating an experience that people can enjoy. So we won't give it up that easy.
Yeah, this is my first podcast, so a lot harder than it seems. Chris, Cody, you guys are very good at it. I think you're much better than I am.
Oh, give me a break. We gave you a chance to speak, I mean, yeah, I interrupted you to say this. Give me a break.
I think that's part of podcasting, is like asserting.
We're like divorced parents.
It's just asserting your dominance when you're doing Zoom calls and recording it. So I appreciate you guys providing a steady foundation for this to actually continue. It's been a real pleasure. And yeah, and you know, we got these 31 in, and it was a lot of work. Fuck. A lot more work than I even thought it was, and I knew it was going to be a lot of work. So,
and then we had to listen to ourselves.
Yeah, I had to cut
the hardest work of all.
Too many ums and likes. That's my rec. Also, if you do work podcast, please listen to yourself, because man, I have learned a lot about how I communicate, and I am giving myself low marks. I need to improve.
Oh, give me
yeah, but it's in conversation with what I will say about
how yeah, it's in conversation no. with putting butter on the quagmire of the Halloween podcast.
Yeah, yeah, this is
the cosmic. This ain't your daddy's Halloween podcast.
It ain't your daddy's buttered quagmire in conversation.
Nick and Nora stabbed in the face. Yeah.
Oh boy.
We didn't we should have used that.
This
more.
Is JLCBCMPC.
The FCC.
I like we have memes, we got inside jokes now. No, it's
we
great.
Got a whole
it's
lexicon great. And it's thanks to all of you being a part of this. Wanna thank both of you, of course. Wanna thank the Podglomerate for hosting us and you know, hopefully pushing us to do more in the future. And, you know, it's just been a great ride. And, you know, this has probably been one of my favorite Halloween seasons and, you know, definitely my favorite since I was a kid, just because I felt so connected to it. So closing out, this is what, that's kind of what Halloween means to me. It's just propelling that sense of opening that other, you know, periphery of your eye and looking at the world a little differently and being spooked by it, but also being fascinated by it and exploring, you know, the parts of culture that revel in that the most. But how about you two? How would you summarize your passion for the holiday?
Chris gave me a nod, so I'm going to go. Halloween is something that when you're growing up and you like writing stories, you like watching movies, it just, I think it just fits in really well. And even when we're getting older, you're kind of trying to still maintain that sort of nostalgia for it. I think horror movies are a big part of that. And I think especially nowadays, it's like Halloween means in some ways a lot more to me than like Christmas did, you know? Like you learn Santa Claus isn't real, but you're like, oh fuck, that sucks. Kind of takes the magic away from Christmas.
Spoiler alert. We haven't done any spoilers for the rest of the pod, but that's a big one for the kids.
Yeah, but I don't know, like, there's just something about, I love the genre. I really do love the genre. And I like that there's sort of a, there's a holiday that is connected to it and feels like right to be watching this stuff. And it's been weird kind of being in this mindset and watching these movies throughout the year. Sometimes, like we mentioned, it's like, oh, it felt really sacrilegious to watch Trick or Treat in like February.
Yeah. Yeah. Happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Sleepy Hollow. Yeah.
Big thank you to all of our partners for dealing with us watching these different things at random times throughout
Seriously.
The year.
Seriously. It's like, hey, do you want to watch the
Yeah, I know it's the middle of May, but Pumpkinhead is really talking to me right now.
Yeah.
What
and
are you
I
doing
also,
tonight?
Yeah, and I also have to talk about it with two other dudes for an hour and a half.
Yeah, you go take a bath, you go take a walk, because I'm going to be asserting my point of view over silly Halloween movie.
Big thank you to and patience of our SOs, our partners, for dealing with this, which has been an experience. But
and big thank you to our guests who came on.
Yes, our guests.
Who are in the industry, who we know, good friends. Nick, Wes, Pat, and Andrew.
I would have liked more guests. I would have liked more diverse guests. The guests was kind of a late addition, admittedly, but I'm glad that they came on.
I know, we keep emailing Mike Doherty, and he's like, hasn't responded.
Yeah, I'm hitting him up. So,
I mean, ideally,
anyway,
we'd have
you're,
guests
the, you're our favorite guests. You're listening in. You know, that's sorry to the other guys, but you're our favorite people to join in on this conversation. And we've loved how you've connected with us so far. So keep it up. Thanks so much.
Chris, did you say?
Yeah, Chris, I thought I was just going to wrap up. And then, Chris, I was going to poke you to be like, say something. But
I mean, I was basically going to say, similar to what I said earlier, is that Halloween, along with what you both have said, is the one holiday that feels like it becomes more important to us as we get older. Every other holiday tends to plateau or really has a big start to it in your life and then slowly fades away or becomes about just gluttony and depression and dealing with your family. And Halloween really has ebbs and flows like our playlist and like a good Halloween movie. It starts off about the sugar high and candy and fun. There's this rebellious period in the middle where trick-or-treating isn't cool and this is stupid. Then you can go back out. Then you can go out and party. And then all of a sudden you've got extra money to spend on a movie quality costume and you want to show off and compete. And it's just one that if you want to, you can evolve with Halloween. It can become something new every year. But there's, especially growing up on the East Coast, there's a feeling when Halloween is coming as the leaves start changing, the air gets colder, and the wind starts to
the
blow
veil
a
is
more.
Lifted.
Yeah, yeah, you hear the dead leaves blowing in that crisp wind, and it's just a mark that times are changing. The vegetation is starting to die, but winter isn't here yet. You got one big party.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's my favorite distillation is it. Christmas, you know, Hanukkah, Thanksgiving, a lot of these things remind you that you're getting older. Halloween reminds you that you can still be a kid. And I think that's awesome. So again, thank you so much for letting us be kids for this whole year. Being just so excited to talk about all this with each other and with you by extension. And we're looking forward to the future. And Michael Myers is still out there, so watch behind your backs. And you know, we'll see you down the pumpkin patch a few.
We'll see you down on Elm Street.
See you behind a clothesline.
All right. Thanks again. Happy November.
Thank you, everyone.
Have a great time with that Thanksgiving podcast you're picking up, but we're taking a little rest.
Cheers.
Talk soon.
Yeah. Peace.